Hey guys, my name's Colby Shinaki, and this is my podcast. I hope that you take this time to lean into what God's trying to tell you. The Bible says that His word does not return void and that it will accomplish the purpose for which it was intended. I hope this inspires you, encourages you, and builds your faith.
What's going on, guys? I got my brother. We're just chilling in his room, sitting on his couch, just kind of hanging out this morning. We're just gonna talk about really what's going on and what we've been thinking about, what I've been reading over the past 2 days, and just kind of going from there. So how you doing, bro?
Dude, I'm doing so good. We're super crazy busy. You know, when the world goes to sleep during this crazy time, like, it's crazy because social media just kicks up. So all the social media people go into hyperdrive, and so
that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, and as far as the musician side of me goes, like, I've been writing more songs than ever before. I've been writing a song every other day, and we're doing that on social media, so it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, you and I were, like, we were leaving the neighborhood just yesterday, and we were just kind of talking about, like, as the gate's opening, it's amazing how fast, like, your world and your perspective can change.
Yeah, totally.
Just, like, in an instant. Like, so, first of all, I just want to hope that everybody's staying safe, that everybody's kind of staying away from other people and quarantining themselves, and just really hoping that you guys are having fun with it. But, you know, over the last 2 days, really, God's kind of been putting the book of Esther on my heart. And so I've been diving into that. And, you know, Esther's a weird book.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like doing a little bit of research, and it's the only book that does not mention God in it.
Hmm.
And, like, I was just thinking about that, and it's crazy that the whole book, it doesn't mention Lord, it doesn't mention God, it doesn't, like, it's really just a story. But, and then I started thinking, like, why is this even in the Bible?
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you can kind of relate it to a time like this, or really any aspect of your life, but, like, just because you can't see God in it, it doesn't mean that God's hand's not all over. You know, and it's like,
so it's kind of like nature. Like, you look around, and like the Bible even talks about, like, people who haven't heard the name of God have seen His works all around and know that they're, and see the evidence that God exists. It's kind of like Esther is an evidence book. It's not a proclamation book.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And so I was really just kind of taken back by that. And, you know, even with this coronavirus, and like, even if you're going through something in your life where it just seems overwhelming and it feels like you're in the storm. I think about the disciples when they were in the storm, where it's like they can't see anything around them. They saw the wind of all things, you know?
Yeah.
And they couldn't see God, but God saw them the entire time. And so with that, I just want to kind of give a little bit of context of where I'm at in the book. And the story of Esther opens up with this banquet, or this party thrown by King Ahasuerus. And he has invited all of his officials, all of his servants, everybody's welcome to come to this party. And at some point in the night, the big thing was that he was going to reveal his queen. And this girl was considered to be the prettiest girl in all of Persia.
Who decided that? He did?
He did.
Dang.
When you're
the king, you decide.
When you're the king, your wife is the prettiest.
Yeah, whether they like it or not.
Whether they like it or not. It doesn't matter your opinion. But, could you imagine being there? And then,
and like, she comes out, and everybody's whispering, like, "Oh, and then someone catches you." No, that'd be crazy.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
But at some point in the night, he was going to reveal his queen.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody was gathering together. And when he sent for her, like, when he sent his soldiers to go get her, she said, "No, like, I'm not going." And that,
ooh, she's savage.
Yeah. That no, that ticked him off. And when you're the king, back in these times, what you could do is that when your queen ticked you off, you just found a new queen.
Yeah.
And so,
well, yeah, I mean, kings even had, like, I mean,
they had multiple wives.
Solomon had,
yeah,
concubines, like, in the thousands, you know what
I
mean?
So many wives.
It's crazy.
But that's kind of where the story of Esther picks up. And so the king sends his men all over the 127 provinces of Persia to find the prettiest girls. And Esther was one of them, and she ends up getting chosen by the king to be the queen. And there's really four main characters that take place in the book of Esther, and it's the king, Ahasuerus, there's Esther, there's her uncle Mordecai. Esther and Mordecai are both Jews, and then there's the king's official who was promoted to be like kind of head over all the officials, and his name was Haman. And the story kind of picks up in chapter 3 that like Haman was just promoted and he wanted all the officials to bow down to him. And he went to go have all of them bow down, and Mordecai, the uncle, was like, I'm not bowing down. And that ticked him off. Somewhere in the story, everybody's getting ticked off.
Yeah.
And
it's like real life.
Yeah. Every time you turn your shoulder, somebody else is mad.
Yeah.
And then, so that makes him mad. And he says, all right, I'm going to destroy all the Jews. And kind of like a little cliff note is that Mordecai, before Esther was chosen to be queen, told her, don't let anybody know that you're a Jew. Like, go in there, and when the right time comes, we'll let everybody know. But don't let anybody know that you're a Jew. And so Haman gets King Ahasuerus' permission to go and destroy the Jews, and he says, all right, do what you want.
I freaking think that's so cool. See, here's the thing is, like, and we talk about this all the time. Like, you know, we're both in an industry where, like, you are putting yourself out there, and you're putting yourself out there for what you believe. And, like, we both, deep down, we both found our foundation in Jesus Christ, right?
Yeah.
But, like, the way that we present ourselves will either turn people off or bring people towards us. And like that goes for anybody in any realm, whether you're, you know, stapling letters together at, like, UPS, or you're at a restaurant or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, you know, you have the option to be a Christ follower who is doing their job of showing that through actions, or you have the option to try and do it through your verbiage, and it's just not as effective.
No, through, like, I never want to be that verbiage guy alone. That, like I don't want my verbiage to be judgmental.
Right.
You know, I want people to know that I'm a Christian by, like, not even me having to tell them. Like, there's that saying that, like, a king doesn't have to say that he's a king. You just know he is.
That is so good.
You know?
And did you know that Jesus actually never, he never got mad at anyone except the religious people?
Yeah. I was about to say.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, he didn't get mad at anybody except for religious
people. Dude, I mean, he spent his time with prostitutes. He spent his time with the poor and the hungry and, like, those lacking self-control. And yet the ones he seemed so enraged by were the ones in his own religion.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he came to reform that religion, and I think that was probably part of his frustration. But I just think that's so crazy that Esther, even, seeing that it's an evidential book, I don't even know if that's the way we should put it, but it's a book based on evidence.
Yeah.
It's just so cool to me to see that she was kind of like a stealth bomb. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You know, when they shoot a missile up in the United States, like, if they were to release, like, a nuclear bomb, for instance, not saying that we should. I'm just saying, like, this is only to talk about impact.
It's all theoretical.
This is all theory. When they release one, you know, they have specific ICBM missiles that go to the brink of space.
Really?
The reason that they do that is because up that high, nearly impossible to detect. Right? And we have tons of technology, but the idea is that they can stay undetected for as long as possible so that they can have the best probability of hitting their target when they start to come down, because there's the least amount of time in which they're detectable by the enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see Esther like that. Like, she comes in, she's up in space, man. Nobody knows who she is or what she stands for, what she believes. And she kind of, she presented herself as, and I'm guessing she wasn't the queen yet. Was she the queen already?
She
presented herself as a woman who is of class that believed in Christ.
She became the queen pretty quick.
Yeah, and she didn't. And what's really cool is she didn't have to go around flaunting Jesus. It just kind of was her aura. You know what I mean? It just like the book itself. That's cool how they parallel.
Yeah. So there's this scene, if you would, where Mordecai is kind of freaked out that Haman is going to destroy the Jews. You know, that's Esther and his people.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he didn't bow down.
What?
Because
he wouldn't bow down. And, you know, that's another point too.
Yeah,
just like in the middle of following Jesus, the repercussions of that seem wrong. You know, like, why am I getting punished for doing something that I know is right? Or why am I getting punished for something that I believe in?
You can even take it a step further and talk about the fact that, like, you know, your actions are not just your actions. They do have an effect on the people around you. You know what I mean? Like, what I decided to do with my life will affect you. Just like when he decided not to bow down, he affected all the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to think about that, because that kind of weight shouldn't be something that paralyzes us, but it should be something that continues to keep us in check.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so this scene kind of unfolds where Mordecai is kind of freaking out, and he has this... So he never actually sees Esther. There's kind of like a mediator where one of Esther's guards is kind of passing notes back and forth between him and Esther. And you see this ongoing dialogue. And where I kind of got hung up on this whole story in chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, "And Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, 'Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape more than all the other Jews.'" And that hit me hard. And I think it's easy to come into this Christian life, and this is kind of how I interpreted it. It's easy to come into this Christian life and you're living in the palace now. Like everything seems good, you know, the way that we phrase it. But it doesn't mean that we are exempt from like temptation. Mm. It doesn't mean that we're like free from what the enemy like has for our lives.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to even take it a step further and just go into say that, like, I think it gets harder in terms of...
I agree with you.
Like, our life. I think when we become a Christian, our lives don't change in terms of what the enemy's going to do. I think we just become more aware of what's actually going on around us. Like, mm-hmm. our eyes are open to, okay, there is an enemy. There is somebody who has contrary plans for my life, plans to steal, kill, and destroy me. Yeah. You know, like... I do see the target that's on my back. And if anything, I have somebody coming after me more than he was before.
Yeah, because you weren't a weapon before.
No.
You know, and like, I think a lot of people look at like salvation as the finish line, and it's really not. It's signing up for the race. It's signing up for the 5K. Like, before the 5K, you were just sitting on your butt, and now you've decided you want to be in this race.
That's true.
You want to be a part of this story. And so it's like people have to reframe their mentality from thinking that salvation is going to be the cure to salvation is the entry ticket. You know what I mean? You just got your number. You're standing on the front line now. And now it's going to be hard because now you're in the race. There's going to be times where you want to stop, slow down. There's going to be times where people pass you. There's going to be times where you have to deal with your own ego when you pass other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it's only the beginning.
And that's something too, is that like, In this race following Jesus, I think we get so focused on, like, I was running at this speed before, and now I'm kind of like at this speed, and I see people like passing me. Mm. Just being content with knowing that you like, I'm gonna have different moments in life where I am going through highs, or when I do need to just be still and like let God do His thing. And you know what I'm talking about?
Well, comparing is an interesting thing.
I'm not talking about comparing.
Especially in the gospel, comparing is like really interesting, because when you look at other people and then you look at yourself and you say, like, I used to believe like that every person had an individual plan, right? That no one could rob that from you. You know what I mean? No other person that's more talented in your area of expertise could come and take the opportunity that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not exactly biblically backed. I used to believe that.
That's going into this next verse.
The truth is, you know, God asks us to step up. And if we're not willing, God still has a plan and a story. And He's going to find someone to fulfill His will.
Yeah.
And so it's like our job to be ready. You know, they say that luck is preparation meeting opportunity.
Mm.
That's all that luck is. And even with like a walk with God, you know, God is... one part spiritual, but also one part completely practical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, He expects us to do our part. You know, David, if he hadn't swung his sword, if David hadn't thrown that rock or slingshot at the rock, I can't remember what he was using, like a sling.
You got it.
Yeah. He would have never killed the giant. He had a practical part to play.
There's even like, you can even go backstory into that. Like, when he's going to face Goliath, he didn't, like, God never promised him that he was going to take down the giant with the first stone.
Dang.
That's good.
Oh, you imagine if you missed the first time and he just turns around and he's like, I'm really sorry, guys. Hold on, go. I'm about to die.
This went way different in my head. When I did it with the lion, it worked.
But it
said, like you can even, it said he picked up 5 smooth stones from the river.
Yeah.
Because he was ready because Goliath had 4 other brothers. Or,
wow. Yeah. I never knew that.
Or that, like, God never promised that he would take down Goliath with the first stone.
Dang.
But even going into this next verse, it says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews for another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And that goes so clearly into what you just said, which is just like, see, relief and deliverance are inevitable. That's definitely a part of the story. But whether or not it comes from you or somebody else is not inevitable.
Yeah, she was so being a part of the story is,
was her decision.
Right.
You know, like and that's so true for our lives too. Like God has a purpose and a plan overall for the world, and whether or not we're gonna pick up the mantle and do our part of the story is totally on us.
Yeah, that's why I looking at people one of my biggest heroes that's still living is Jensen Franklin. Because like this guy, we watched this guy start a church. We've watched his story, we've watched him grow all the way to the point that he's at now. And like this guy now is the right hand and spiritual mentor to the White House. And like, obviously, you know, everybody's got their different views on the White House, but what nobody can argue is that being connected to the White House brings significant power. And God trusted this man with significant power, Jensen Franklin. Like, it's crazy to me to see that this man has never schemed or positioned, and God has just continued to grow his influence as he was ready.
And faithful, yeah.
And faithful with what he was already given. And I think that's kind of that's a great message for myself today, is just like, how can I be more faithful with the things that God's already given me instead of worrying about what I don't have yet?
Yeah, like, I've been thinking about that too. Just like, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, like, give us this day our daily bread. And it's just like, not only being faithful, but being content with what God gives you for today.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we want more, and we want to be there in our timing. But God's like, this is what I want for you today. You know, just being faithful with that. And the big kicker for me is that you can be a Christian and still miss out on this plan that God has. Like, you're still going to heaven. Like, you're still...
No, now you're getting into some good stuff. Yeah, right? The difference between grace and anointing.
Yeah, like, you're still going to heaven and you're good, but you can be a Christian, believe in God, go to church, but if you're neglecting your purpose, God's still going to find somebody else.
Yeah, because he can't make the stone kill the... I mean, he could, but, like, he won't make the stone kill the giant if you don't throw it.
Yeah, and, you know, Levi Lusco said something in one of his messages that's always stood out to me so much. And he said, God's greatest good was never just forgiving you. Like, God would much rather, like, and the thing that blows your mind is that he already has. Like, if you're in Christ, he's already forgiven you for past, present, and future.
Yeah.
But he would much rather be using you for your purpose and using you to reach the world and using you to do something more than just forgiving you. You know what I mean?
Dang.
That hit me hard.
It's a crazy way to look at it.
Yeah.
Levi Lusco is the man.
He is. And then kind of going into my last point, which is this last verse right here, and it just says, and who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And it's just this idea of you never know when and who or when God wants to use you. And what time he wants to do it at. It's just like this idea of always being ready.
Always being prepared for it.
Like, you never know when you're on the street or you're going into an environment where, like, God's saying, I want you to talk to them. I want you to reach them. And just what we've been talking about recently, like, a big point for us is just never going into a moment or a moment in time where we're not filled up when we're called to be.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's so big, man. So many times we walk into moments that we're filled up, but
we're not.
We're not. And how do we pour out when we're not filled up? You know?
Yeah.
And how do we fill up? the word of God. That's it. And it's so crazy to me, like, this period of time with the coronavirus and stuff has given us more time to get close to God than ever before. Mm-hmm. And, like, if I'm just challenging myself, I don't think mine has changed very much. How much I've been pressing into God?
Me either.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it crazy to think that in a time like this right now, where we have all the time in the world, it seems like...
It's like God stopped the world for us to pay attention to Him, and it's like we're still trying to find other things that we can do.
To fill it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and isn't it crazy to think, like, how much that exposes the truth, which is that it's just a priority thing.
Yeah.
It's just priority.
You make time for what's important to you.
That's it. Yeah, so, anyways, I'm gonna go smack myself in the face a couple times about that now that we're finished here.
Yeah, man, so that's really what God's just been showing me, is just that, just understanding the reality that, like, one, I'm replaceable.
Yeah.
And it's being selfish over the calling that I have, not in a bad way, but in a way that, like, I don't want to miss out on what God has for me, because I don't want Him to bring up somebody else. And what's even worse about that is knowing I missed out on my calling and seeing somebody else doing what God called me to do.
FOMO.
Yeah.
Spiritual FOMO. Sifomo.
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 But, it's real. Dude. Thanks for being here and doing this with me and just kind of talking with me this morning.
No sweat, bro.
Guys,
I love doing this.
I hope you guys have a great quarantine. I hope that you just dive into what God has for you during this period in time, just knowing that it's a priority thing. God wants to reach you. He wants to tell you things. He wants to give you fresh revelation. He wants to show you how much He loves you. And just be safe out there. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, and if you want more like encouragement or our wisdom or just like any of our thoughts and stuff like that, just know that you can go to Colby Shenacki on Instagram, and he posts crap that's just like absolutely exceptional all the time on his story and posts things about God, and I think that's so special, and like obviously I do too, but I just wanted to kind of I gotta brag about my brother and what he's doing. It's pretty cool. So find him on Instagram, find him on all social media, Colby Shenacki. Thanks, man.
Bye, guys.